What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Roger had the camera up to his eyes, and he stumbled and fell. I rode across the creek, got off the horse, and took my rifle out of the scabbard in case I had to make a shot.
For 20 minutes with my spotlight, we watched these two creatures.
I'm romantic. I would like Bigfoot to exist. I've met people who swear they've seen Bigfoot.
It's a very ominous feeling. First of all, everything is one color. It's like a dark pewter color. There are no right angles anywhere. There was almost nothing other than a small foldable hatchway that looked recognizable. Everything was really unworldly.
The other option is that these entities are in fact hybrid beings. They are some sort of a hybrid that's coming in and out of our dimension.
My arm contacted him. He just fell back very unexpectedly easy into the other one. And I rolled off the table in the other direction. And they came around the table and the three of them were coming towards me.
Welcome to the Supernatural Station podcast, where super is emphasized over natural, and you have a one-way ticket on the station. If you've had a paranormal experience, odd experience, or something that defies logic, please send us an email at supernaturalstation5@gmail.com, and you too could be a part of our show. I'm joined today with my host, Roman Daniels. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing great, and I'm your co-host, Jaron Daniels. Thank you for being here.
And don't forget about your other special guest host. I'm Sean Lawrence. Thank you guys for having me on the show once again. I'm excited to be here.
We definitely appreciate you being here. You bring a fun vigor. Sometimes I'll be sitting here, you know, and I'll be like, where's Sean? You know, like I'll be sitting on the couch and be like, where's Sean? And today we got him. So,
yep, I'm back from the mountains once again.
Yeah, we have this little joke. We call him Heber Sean because he lives up in this mountain town called Heber.
Dude's in pure buckskin, you guys. It's weird looking.
No way. No way, but I am growing like a lot more gray hair, cowboy outfit. I'm seeing Bigfoot on the top of the mountains breaking deer in half. All kinds of weird stuff up there.
Harsh up there when you're trying to shovel so much snow. It just takes a lot out of you. Every shovel is like one more gray hair pops up.
What was it, 28 feet this year in Utah, you guys?
Oh, dude, it was terrible. It was terrible.
Racks on racks, stacks on stacks.
But luckily, we're out of that. We're in May. I mean, hopefully, it's definitely pretty warm now. We're getting in the 60s, which is, you know, I won't complain yet.
What's your guys' favorite season?
I'd have to say, for mine, is probably spring or fall. I like spring because of the thunderstorms.
Yeah, and actually fall has quite, early fall has quite a few of those too. Like I think September has like a ton of thunderstorms. But I would have to say I would go with fall as my number one choice, and then summer is a really close next.
And I'm the same way as Roman. Like literally, that's why we're twins. That's why we have the same DNA. It's definitely fall first. You light sweaters, you know, enjoy the beautiful fall leaves, different colors. But then I really like to enjoy myself at the pool, you know, and hang out in the summer, wear that one of those like Hawaiian shirts, you know, got to sipping on something good.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I think about women and stuff and how they have like purses or like little handbags. Sometimes I'm like, maybe I should just carry one of those because I like having layers so that I can have like my keys in my pocket, like not my jean pockets. I like them in like my coat pockets, you know, and all the little things I have to carry are like in my coat pockets.
You need one of those surgical kangaroo pouches on your stomach.
Psycho, yeah.
Marsupials.
Summer's always great, especially with the travels. Love it. Gas prices suck in the summertime, however. But I will say spring, man, I got to still stick with spring. I love the thunder, the sound of thunder, thunder clapping, all of that stuff.
Hey, that ties into what we're talking about tonight, doesn't it?
We're talking about the Thunderbird. I don't know. I've never thought about it too much, but I'm super excited to talk about it.
Yeah, you know, so before we get into what the Thunderbird is, I keep thinking back about these, like, times when we were little kids and we were, like, sitting on the tramp. You know, we'd, like, lay on the tramp because we were always out on the tramp. And
that's not a girl, by the way. We're talking about trampolines.
You have a dirty mind, sir.
Wow. Get out.
I would lay on the tramp, and I remember one weird memory where, and this, now I know what it is, but back then I was like, what is that thing? Is that like some pterosaur, some pterodactyl? I remember like seeing way high up in the sky, like maybe 150 feet, 200 feet up, a huge bird, you know, what I thought was a bird at the time. But now that I think about it, with the way that the wings were bent and stuff, it definitely was like a crane. We have cranes and what are they called?
Pelicans.
Pelicans. We got those out here in Utah, actually, which, believe it or not, most people are like, oh, those are like southern birds or Louisiana birds and stuff. But no, we've got them here too, and they're huge, you know, they're like massive birds.
So I'm just curious because, like, if you picture it, you're on the trampoline, you're looking up, crystal clear sky, bright stars, quiet time, everyone's in bed, and then you just see the outline or some silhouette of a giant bird you know is far up. It's not close, but it's like taken over, you know, like when you would see a silhouette kind of overshadow the stars, right? You would just see something flying around.
Yeah.
Is that kind of the imagery?
Yeah, but it was daytime. But it would be really scary if it was night. And I had an experience like that at night, but then I'm like, oh, those are just, what are they called? The Canadian goose. They fly in that formation, that V formation. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, is that a massive bird flying? I'm like, no, it's a bunch of birds flying together in a formation.
Yeah, we used to see UFOs, UFO sightings on that trampoline at my dad's place. It was actually a neighbor's house, but it was right there. And we used to pick raspberries and blackberries in the backyard there. It was a beautiful spot. But yeah, we'd sit on the trampoline and literally I'd see something in the sky. Again, we never could make out what it was. A lot of the time it was a UFO. Sometimes it was jets. I'll give you that. Sometimes it was random other things. But there was birds we saw that were pretty big. And back then we didn't know pelicans existed in Utah. So it's kind of funny. And now I see them over at the Jordan River when I'm walking down on my lunch break. So it's funny to see that. But
and when you see them up close like that, you're like, they're pretty big, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, what wingspan do you think they have? Like maybe a 5 foot wingspan?
I mean, their beak's as big as my forearm.
4.5 foot wingspan. Yeah.
So they got that. And then they got the wingspan that's probably, you know, I would say like 4.5 feet wide or 5 feet wide.
At the biggest one, probably. Yeah. So yeah, no, we're talking about Thunderbirds and there's a lot of native lore and mythology behind this. And we like to cover these like kind of native inspired stories. It's something we're interested in. With the thing with Thunderbird that's weird, it's not like Bigfoot or some of these other cryptids where you have like tons of stories, right? Tons and tons of stories. And there's actually a lot of like physical evidence and proof and stuff. With this one, it's more like you heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend too. I'm not singing REO Speedwagon, but I was about to go into it.
That guy looks like a bird.
He does. He does look like a bird. No, but so here's my take on it. Well, I'll wait till the very end to give you my take on what these things are and if I believe they're real or not. But I'll let you guys decide and we'll tell some of the stories and some of the descriptors and just kind of go into it. So
I will say that almost every Native American tribe has a story of Thunderbird. So it's very comparable to the Chiniqua, you know, or the Bigfoot, the Sasquatch, you know. It has a lot of stories that back it up. And I've personally seen a Sasquatch and I don't know what it is, right? I've seen something strange on the side of the freeway that was very big. So I've seen a lot of evidence, you know, and so it's weird. It's like, is this true or is it just something to scare the kids into submission when they were little, you know, trying not to cause trouble, whatever it might be. It could be myth. All I'm saying is there's a lot of people that have seen things like Pennsylvania, guys, to be honest, is a hot spot for this thing. And I think that's, you know, there's rivers that are huge there. There's tons of greenery in the rural parts. Anybody say rural, tell me, because I can't.
No, I can't say it either, so no. I feel bad.
I saw a ton of stories out of the Ozark area, a ton of stories out of the Pennsylvania area, and then of course the select few that came from like Nevada, like the Four Corners area, you know, like where we're at. So, and Wyoming, I think there was a couple from Wyoming that were pretty cool.
And I will say we're breaking the matrix, by the way, Rome, because I've been listening to other podcasts, which, to name a few, we always name off podcasts because we love these guys. You know, like there's some good ones out there. The Blurry Creatures, right? There's the Bigfoot Crossroads. There's, you know, Bigfoot and Beyond. There's all these different ones, right, that we listen to. Cliff and Bobo, those guys are ready. But it's funny because we didn't even mean to do this one at this moment, right? It's kind of just like everybody has a trajectory that they're following in a way. Almost like we're not making our own decisions because all these other podcasts had giant owl stories recently. There was a Thunderbird, not Thunderbird. Actually, we're the only ones talking about Thunderbirds, but a lot of giant owl and shadowy in the sky type creature stuff recently. Yeah. So who knows? Maybe there's a weird meaning behind all this for somebody.
This goes back to more synchronicities, you know? It's just like, wonder what makes it in the air that, you know, it's not like you plan these things out. It's not like you're listening to another podcast and be like, oh, that's, I want to copy that and cover it. No, it's like, all of a sudden, you just realize, oh, we're all on the same trajectory. It's a little weird, a little strange.
So first and foremost, before we just delve way too deep into this, we want to thank a lot of our listeners. We're still pretty new into this thing, and we really appreciate you guys riding the station with us. So you got some shout-outs, Rome?
Yeah, I just wanted to give a few shout-outs because it was just kind of cool to get more and more messages, and a lot of them are just pretty cool things. Like I got a story from this new listener, Panga Earhead, is I think how you pronounce her name, on Instagram, and she keeps saying that she's an old hippie, and I'm like, you're not an old hippie. But she's like, yeah, you know, and she's got all these cool stories about rakes. Apparently she's even seen the Pell Crawler and has some crazy stories, so I'm like, I'm trying to get her on. She's also got some really cool Bigfoot recordings, like sounds and stuff, that she actually sent me, so I haven't shown them to you guys yet.
Ooh, that's interesting. I want to hear those.
Yeah, so we're getting some cool little submissions and stuff.
Anyone that sees the crawler, like, rake, it's just one of those things that I'll just say, like, good on you for just being strong enough to get through that, because I have no idea. If I saw that, I'd probably go crazy. I'd probably lose my mind. Yeah. I don't think I'd be back in this world, you guys.
kind of like a dogman. Like, those are the two things I just don't want to run into. And Bigfoot, even so, I've got to be far away from it.
And old hippie, come on now, we love that. You know, I think you got, that's like a superpower.
You know, I do have to ask, do you, are you like trying to sly in that you're a time traveler, perhaps? Who knows? I mean, like, you keep insisting, maybe you're from the past. Maybe you skip time somehow. I don't know.
Yeah, you'll have to chime in with us, you know, comment back on Instagram where we've been chatting a little bit, and let us know if you're a time traveler. The other one that I wanted to shout out to is a listener from Australia. Her name's Madeline, so we just want to say hi. It was cool to hear from her. She gave us a really nice comment about our show and just, you know, how she likes it and stuff, and it was just a nice comment. So we really appreciate those kind of comments, and hey, you know, be honest with us too. That's great too, and we're just happy to talk to you.
Yes, thank you so much, Madeline. I know you sent a message, and we definitely appreciate it. So just so you guys know, Native American cultures have so many stories of the Thunderbird. That's why I hold a lot of credence to it in a way, because not just because we're part Native in a way, but also just because, you know, they don't tall tale too much. I mean, there's certain things they'll do, but in most cases it's, you know, it's true stories that they've just passed down from generation to generation. There's like 500 references documenting Thunderbirds from different Native cultures around the world. So it's 500 different ones from different Native American cultures, rather.
Right, and a lot of these cultures may have never even met each other, never even talked once, you know, like they're too far separated from land, you know, and they've never even run into one another, and they have these pretty amazing similarities to their mythology. You know?
You mean they weren't texting on WhatsApp and saying like, hey man, like let's talk about the Thunderbird to our kids this time because we need something new, some fresh details.
I won't say they weren't, because as all this megalithic stuff starts coming out of like the old ancient cultures and how every single one of them has like these like obelisks and pyramids and all this stuff, and who knows what they were for, and you know, they've got like these little tops on them that could have been connectors, you know, to communicate and stuff, like whether it was crystal or some precious metals and stuff. So I'll say I don't know for sure if they were texting. It could have been an old form of texting, if that makes any sense.
I'm with you on that. I will say that sometimes, you know, the Thunderbird, so here's a good definition of what it is, just in case anybody's wondering what it is. So sometimes it's translated as thunderers or thunder beings or spirits, particularly attributing to stories by varying different tribes in their family lines. Certain qualities transcend cultures, but the Thunderbird is generally depicted as a bird of prey or an avian-human hybrid, such as a person with a beak and wings. Can you imagine that? I didn't think about it that way. I was thinking it was just a big bird. But when me and Sean were talking off recording, we were talking about how this could be some kind of weird connection to other culture type Native American stories, which we'll get into. But I will say that the avian-human hybrid thing's weird.
That is strange. And that's kind of the first time I've heard that right now. But yeah, that's and really
it,
creepy.
Yeah, and it says some images present the figure chest forward, head in profile, and tail feathers parted as if they were human legs. More abstract versions signify thunderbirds with an X-shaped body, hashes for wings, and hook-like heads. And then it says, they inhabit the sky. Thunderbirds act as a powerful, life-giving spirit who commands storm clouds, which bring spring rains. Their eyes shoot lightning, and their wings beat issues of thunder. As powers of the upper world, so they're the powers of the upper world, it sounds like, thunderbirds wage perpetual war against aquatic spirits of the beneath world, often portrayed as malevolent serpents or felines. Which it makes sense, just really quick. Like, you know how cats are, guys. We've all had cats growing up. Sean has some cats now. They're getting a bird if they can get a bird. So if what's the arch enemy of a bird?
It's going to be a cat. And everything else is at the bird's will, you know? Like,
totally.
The snakes are at the bird's will, the lizards.
Cat's the only one that can freakishly jump 15 feet to catch a bird off of a fence without it noticing it.
You know what I think is pretty amazing is when you look at Native American artwork, you know, old cave drawings, all the actual artwork that's passed down, the totem poles like up in Canada and stuff, they have thunderbirds on them. And it's cool because that's the only animal, aside from animals that we know to be real, aside from Bigfoot as well, that's actually depicted on these forms of art,
which I think is interesting.
Yep. So maybe there's some real truth to it, because, like, I mean, yeah, we know they're including Bigfoot because they were seeing him, talking to him, whatever, and all these other creatures like deer, you know, everything that we know exists, mountain lions, bears, etc.
Yeah, and it says that humans are kind of caught in the middle of this perpetual war against these aquatic spirits beneath, and of course, the thunderbird of the sky. So there's a lot of different people, professors of anthropology of the Appalachian State Universities and different places that explain what this is and have a lot more knowledge than we do. But, you know, thunderbirds are very intriguing to me, because if I saw a big bird, which actually, should we get into if I saw a big bird? Because I know we saw a big bird together.
Yeah, we'll get into it in a second. That one, we gotta build up for that one.
Definitely got to build up to that.
Well, I do want to talk more about, obviously, stories, more mythology, and kind of all that. We're going to go into a lot of different things, but before we get into all that, there's definitely a couple ideas of what these things could be. One of them, obviously, the most popular theory is like a pterosaur that still exists. You know, people always see these large wingspans, and a lot of times they're talking about something that's featherless too. I don't hear a lot of those stories from what my research, but if it's the other thing, so it could be a pterosaur, who knows? Like,
is that like a pterodactyl then?
Yeah.
Like that kind of look?
Okay. It's a giant reptile, right, with the big wingspan.
Yeah, everybody's seen that. I'm dubbing it fake just because I, you know, a little skeptic in me, but...
Oh, you're talking about that video?
The pterodactyl picture with all the Western dudes sitting all around it.
Oh, yeah.
They have it all spread out, and there's like a cute little like beagle or something just staring at the camera too. Who knows? It could be, I don't know, it could be real, but it just seems a little...
Check the Instagram page, guys, because when we post this episode, we'll add all these photos that we're talking about. But that's one of the ideas, that it's some giant reptile, right? But then there's also the idea of like a giant owl, which we'll go into that a little bit more, because sometimes the way people describe it is more like a giant owl. But the other thing is, and this is more of like a real creature that existed, is this thing called Pterotornis merriami. And if you look that up, by the way, we'll add some photos. It was like pretty much the predecessor to the giant condor, California condor, which is actually the largest bird in North America. There's also the, what's it called? The harpy eagle in South America, Central America.
So I will say that we went to a hot spring here in Utah. We have some pretty cool places here for hiking. It's about a mile up, mile back, you know, good times. Red Rocks, actually a cougar attacked an older gentleman on the same trail this year, which was kind of scary. But we were walking up this trail, and closer to our vehicular, we looked up in the canyon, and lo and behold, I swear it was like a little kid. But it was a condor. It was an American or California condor. And it was so big, you guys. So I think if anyone hasn't seen one, it looked like the creature of death, you know, kind of thing. And it was just staring at us with this like pale face.
Yeah. I mean, they're like basically the bigger version of the vulture.
And so if this is the case and it's that thing that you said, merriami, homie over here, it would have been pretty dang big. So that literally could, because there's so many sightings that say that it has a white ring around its neck, that it has the condor-type beak, but it looks like a golden eagle with the browns and the blacks. Like, who knows? Yeah, that could be a perfect example.
And this thing is, like, we'll post pictures, but this thing's, like, as tall as, like, a 7 or 8 year old, you know, kind of average height of, like, a, you know, a small child, if it was to sit up on its feet and then, like, perched. And then it had, like, a wingspan of, like, 8 feet or something like that, the seven, 8 feet. And that's kind of what people describe, but more like 10 feet, 12 feet is kind of what I see in a lot of these reports. So I'm like, I don't know, the size still kind of doesn't add up in my mind. And then of course we're talking about the Thunder Bear, like this thing that brings in, it rides on clouds of thunder and lightning, you know, which to me is more paranormal. Like, I think this thing is not necessarily, we can't just put it in a scientific box. Like, it's more of a paranormal entity in my mind.
Yeah, now that we research more and more into the supernatural, you know, I believe a lot of this stuff is connected to audio, to audio vibration when it comes to supernatural things. I personally believe, and you guys can fact check, you know, fact checkers, Wikipedia, whatever you want to do. I have no idea if this is true, just so you know. But what I will say is that, like, you know how you can move, I don't know, you guys look this up on YouTube, but you can move water droplets with audio vibration, and it makes little circles in the water that float up in the air. So I believe that, just personal belief, that the pyramids were built by audio vibration and not by carrying big lugs of stone around. So, and it's getting more and more understood that it's getting closer to that. The 1.6 gigahertz on Skinwalker Ranch, Secrets to Skinwalker Ranch, they keep bringing that same gigahertz up because it has something to do with creepy audio vibration.
Yep.
So what I'm getting at with that is that the Thunderbird could be like moving at the speed of light with lightning, you know, moving it because it makes a sound, you know, of audio. It comes into that sort of atmosphere. Who knows? But I definitely think the world's crazier than it seems, and we don't have all the answers. So that's just my random take on it.
Yeah, and it's weird with the native culture, because they would the way these stories come out with the Thunderbird too is it does consider them to be giant great spirits, and that basically they were like the protectors of some of the tribes. Like in some of the stories, they were protectors that would actually bring food and share food, and so that's why they're usually on top of the totem. Actually, when the totem pole is, because they were like food bearers, like when it was a bad year and crops were not good and food was really scarce, they had like an agreement with some of these Native American cultures that they would fetch them food as long as they were revered and kind of worshipped and painted on, which is creepy too, by the way, but painted on with artwork and all this, and basically just respected. And they were said to live in like these giant peaks, like the highest peaks you can get to, the caves that are way up in the mountains, and basically you just avoid those areas. You treat them as like, you respect them, right? You don't go up to them.
Yeah.
But then there's other stories where it's like, this thing is going to kill you. Like, it's going to take you away, and it's going to, and so native cultures would talk to their children and say, don't go outside because this Thunderbird is going to come in and it'll take you away.
You know, that reminds me, of like, if there were feuding tribes, that thinking like deity protector of one tribe would also be on the offense for like a, I mean, this is no, I'm not a Native American, like, you know, historian or anything, but it just, from the surface level, it would just seem like that would be making, like, a connection between, like, two feuding tribes where they would have, like, their deity-type creatures that would fight for them and also serve, you know, like, serve with them kind of thing, you know?
Totally. Power Ranger comes from that in a way, I bet. Like, you know, the Power Rangers had their, like, big morphin-time suits that would turn into a bigger creature that would fight the battle for him against these bigger creatures, like something along those lines. But
I really don't think that it's just one type either. I don't think that there's just one specific thing that's a Thunderbird. I think it's like, if anything, it's because these descriptions are so vast and vary so much, you know. Like, I'll go into some of these descriptions right here. I think it's pretty interesting. Physical descriptions. It says they vary widely. Some people say they saw them as having a bright red head and a white body, while others describe them as being dark brown and black with white stripes on their wings. Other reports say they are tall and slender with long necks and powerful legs, while many other accounts note that they had short wings which resembled those of raptors like eagles. Whether or not Thunderbirds are real is something we never know for sure, obviously. Part of the reason we're talking about it. But just the variations, and then there's the longer beaks like the vultures, the shorter beaks, you know, like the owls. All right, guys, I do have a story that I'm just going to recount. It's not something I'm reading off of or anything. This is just coming from my good old brain that might be failing me periodically, but I may miss a few details. But this one came from a podcast I was listening to a while ago, and bless me, please, I don't remember which podcast it was, but I listened to so many. So as you guys know, we are listeners of other podcasts as well. What it was is this
this Native American guy, him and his wife. So he had these stories that he heard about when he was a young kid, and he's like, oh, that's just hogwash, right? His mom and his dad used to tell him this story when it was him and his little brother, and used to tell him the story saying, hey, you know, don't go outside because the giant owl will get you, because the giant owl eats children. It looks for little kids that are wandering by themselves, and it swoops down and takes you away forever, and you're done. And he's like, oh, that's just something that my mom was telling me, because she's like, oh, she doesn't want us to get into trouble or go into the woods by ourselves or whatever, right? Well, years down the road, so him and his wife, he was married now, he's an adult, he was going back to visit his mom and dad on one of the reservations that he grew up on, and it was like a holiday, and they're going back, and they're driving through this mountainous area, this really woodsy, foresty area, right? And he's telling his wife this story about how, what his mom used to tell him is that if you think about this owl, or if you talk about it, it's going to show itself to you. Yep. It's like a supernatural being where it will hone in on you if you think about it.
That's scary.
Right? And so he's also like, that's a bunch of BS. You know, it's just, she's trying to scare me.
It was Bigfoot Crossroads, by the way.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. There we go. And this was actually a recent one too. So it was kind of weird because I'm literally doing research for our show and I'm like, wow, he's doing a show on a giant owl. This is crazy. Anyway, so he's going back and him and his wife and stuff, they're driving in this car, and all of a sudden they come around a bend in this forest, and literally sitting on the edge of the road, standing up, like perched on its hinds, is a giant owl, like a massive sized owl. He's like, this thing was 5-6 feet tall. And he's like, and it's just looking at us. We come around the bend and it's looking at us. So right after he told his wife this story about, if you think about this thing, or if you talk about it, it's going to show itself. And they slam on the brakes and they're just staring at it. And this thing noticed their car and it's just watching them. You know, creepy owl way, you know, owls are weird. The way that they look at you is kind of scary. They have these huge yellow eyes and stuff. And he described it like that, having these big old yellow eyes, and it was kind of brownish grayish in color. He gets kind of freaked out, and his wife is totally freaked out because she's like, wow, I thought this was all a bunch of hogwash, and now you're telling me this, or we're seeing this thing, right? Well, he honks on the horn. He starts hammering on the horn to see if he could scare it away, and that's when it just kind of sticks its neck up a little bit, if they have necks, really, which they don't, but, and then it reaches its wings out and flaps them, and it's like a 10-foot wingspan. It's almost like this display of, hey, look, I'm right here. You see me, and I'm big and macho, right? Don't mess with me.
You called me. I'm here.
I'm here.
I'm proving to you right now that this is true.
So I think eventually, did it fly away or whatever? I don't remember the story, but...
No, they just drove past it, but it stayed right there on that rock perched next to the road.
And it just stared at him as they were driving off, right? Which was super creepy. Now, if he was a young kid walking through the woods and that thing saw him, it'd probably eat him. Well, he gets to his family home and starts talking to his mom and dad, and he tells them what they saw. And they just kind of acted like, oh, yeah, you saw it. I told you, be careful. You know, they were almost
they were just so nonchalant, like, this is real. There you go. You called it. You get what you get. You get what you deserve, kind of thing.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure he was driving a Volkswagen Touareg for some reason. I just picture that. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Like a light blue, like a teal.
Yeah. Something like that. But yeah, and then there's this other one that I just heard recently too. Also two brothers, Native American kids, growing up on a res. And they were living with their mom and their grandparents in the same house. And their grandparents were traditionalists. They like knew all the old stories. You know, they were very much in the old way. And they grew up Christian with their parents and stuff. And so it was kind of a different setting as far as that goes, as far as beliefs and stuff. Well, their grandma said, boys, you know, make sure you don't go out in the woods at night, and especially avoid thunderstorms. She's like, in this area, you know, definitely be careful out there. She's like, there's things out there that will want to get you. And that she kind of left it at that. They're like, whatever. And so they went off, and he's like, it was kind of boring in this little house that we lived in, this little town. There wasn't a lot to do. So we like to go off in the woods and just mess around, you know, and look for rocks or whatever else. So they're going off to the woods, and it was, I think it was Nevada. So not a lot of woods, right? It's like sparse type stuff, more desert climate. And all of a sudden he's like, the air starts getting that clammy kind of feel to it, and it's dark, starting to get dark, the sun's going down, and feels kind of moisture in the air. And he's like, what's going on? All of a sudden, this thunderstorm starts rolling in. They're starting to feel wind and everything. They hear this god-awful screech, and this thunderstorm starts rolling in faster than any other thunderstorm they've ever seen in the area. And rolls in, and all of a sudden, they're looking up at these dark clouds. And in the clouds, they see this massive bird, like the shape of a bird, right, with these huge wings and stuff. And it's flapping, and every time it flaps, you hear this crack sound, and the lightning hits at the same time. It starts swooping down towards them, and the little brother, who was pretty young, I think he was like 4, and the older brother was like 7 or 8, So pretty young to be out there by themselves, by the way, if I might add. But the little four-year-old tripped on a rock and hurt his ankle, and I think he sprained it. And so the big brother was like, oh, I'm in huge trouble with my family and stuff. And he was trying to hurry to get the kid back home. And so they're trying to run home at this time. And this bird is just flapping its wings as they're rushing home. And they just keep hearing this flapping sound the whole time they're getting close to the door. They finally get up to the door, and it's starting to rain, and there's wind, thunder outside. The grandma opens the door, and she's like, what's going on, boys? And they're crying. And as she opens this little storm door, she looks up, and she sees the bird fly over the house. And so it was literally on their tail, flew right over them.
Wow.
She knew what it was. She saw it right away, and she was real quiet about it. And she helped nurse the, you know, the boy with the sprained ankle, and tried to appease her children, which was, you know, the ones that were Christian and stuff, whatever, the parents. And then she later, in the evening, when everyone was calmed down and stuff, the grandma was tucking in the little boys, and they were real close to their grandma. And she's like, I know what happened to you guys tonight. I saw it myself. You guys were messed with by the Thunderbird. It was after you, and I told you not to go out there. We have a lot of stories in this area. A lot of locals are seeing it all the time, especially when thunder rolls in like this. She's like, and I told you guys.
You know, trust your grandma's friends. Trust your grandparents, because they always have a good story. And you know what? It's not always stories. It's like legit. I'll tell you guys that. Like, it's, we keep acting like we know everything.
Yeah.
I think it's so funny, you know? And the older we get, right? You know? I'm not going to conceal my age to all y'all out there. But I am getting older. Hashtag. And it sucks. But I will say that as I get older, I get a little more wise. It's not wise. You know, I'm still a wreck. I'm still walking. I'm a walking zombie over here. Half asleep, half awake. But I will say that my grandparents, or grandparents in general, know what they're saying. And yeah, the fact that she, like, emphasized, hey, I saw what you guys saw.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's so cool. Because, you know, kids, they always get told that they're not seeing what they're seeing, or they're not hearing what they're hearing and stuff. We used to get told that when we were kids sometimes. And
yeah,
it's like, nah, I saw something. So I wish you'd just have faith in me. So it's cool to know that she was helping him out with that.
Well, and the way the kid described it, and he's like, it's funny because my little brother now is like the guy that believes all this stuff. And he's very, like, the way he tells the story is like way more involved. He's like way more, you know,
interested in
it
and stuff.
Yeah. And he goes into it all. He's like, and I'm just like living my businessman life. And none of that stuff ever occurs to me anymore. He's like, but the story definitely happened, and we definitely saw what we saw. And my brother and I have the same story, and we corroborate it with each other, even though they were young, you know, 4-year-old mind is kind of moldable. But yeah. So, and then, you know, of course the grandma, like you said, there's a lot of wisdom that comes with age. And it's cool that the grandma, the way he said it, was like, she didn't make us feel weird at all. She just said, I told you guys. And it was like so matter of fact. And so it wasn't like she wasn't trying to scare us. She was just trying to make us feel better. But also at the same time, like, make us know that she knows it's out there.
Acknowledgement and warning. That's grandma's right there.
Right.
Acknowledgement, fun, and warning. That's a good example right there.
You know, as you were reading the story, I was, you know, reminded, thinking in my head, you know, this is awfully similar to like skinwalkers and being, you know, Native American lore as well. Not just Native American, many, many much Native American, but there's also very similarities between the Lechusa and, you know, like the Mexican regions and some other parts of the South African area, where it would be, you know, a large humanoid animal that is, you know, essentially a witch that, you know, depending on the legends, sold her soul for various reasons, whether it be for revenge or protecting children from drunkards, things like that, would be some of the legends. But, you know, it's just very similar to, you know, the what we're recalling, a large humanoid, or just even just large bird, you know, 7 foot tall, 15, 20 foot wingspan. But apparently the legend of the Lechusa is, I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly, but it's just another, like, bruja, or, you know, witch, basically transforming witch. And I'm just like, what are the odds that there's such a correlation? Not just in one central region of the world, but, like, you can find these similarities of these shape-shifting type creatures for one reason or another, and there's also a spiritual manifestation around it as well, you know, supernatural, that is.
Yeah, I will say that, like, to me, just so you guys kind of put this into context, you know, this skinwalker is a shape-shifting, and I'm not going to disrespect it as a witch, right? But it's a shape-shifting medicine man.
Well, it's like a sorcerer.
Sorcerer, but it's kind of the evil version of medicine man. It's like the ones that, like, take the darker magic and use it, right? And so the darker power, I guess, is what you'd say. But they use that stuff, and then they transform. So this same thing. It's like totally separated worlds, right? South America versus, you know, from where we're at in the Wild West.
And it's just weird to me that there's such similarities, that there's something that can transform a human body into something way intense and still, and not have a lot of control at that point. But you're doing something that's causing a totally transfigured version of yourself into something animalistic, you know, and it's just crazy that there's such a connection to me. And so I'm with you, Sean. It's funny, too, because some of these Thunderbirds have skin-like appearance. They don't have feathers sometimes either.
Yeah.
And they have, like, human-like legs and stuff, like we said earlier. So maybe there's, like, a half-transfiguring that happens where it's, like, kind of forming and then forming back and somebody's catching it in the sky like that.
Yeah, it's, you know, I was reading through some of the homework around this, and it's, I have no idea how to really pronounce this, but I'm going to do my best. It's Momencho Kopukai, which is basically women born of the date they call Se Echela, or One Rain, which caused them to develop supernatural abilities. Goes on to say that they're said to have the ability to remove their limbs and replace them with the limbs of birds. Wings and sometimes beaks that let them fly.
Oh my, no way.
So yeah, I mean, whether it's a transfiguration type situation or we're really talking about some kind of a supernatural ability to literally like piecemeal, like Lego piecemeal with different creatures, it's creepy.
So you want to go on a date?
No!
Starts pulling her arm off and putting a bird arm on. If I'm going to fly there, I'll go on the date with you.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. That would be right before she puts on the large talons that are like, you know, a foot long with
and then I'm,
sharp teeth or whatever.
And then I'm texting my Uber driver and saying, like, dude, get here stat, bro. I'm in huge trouble.
And hopefully you're in an armored vehicle because I don't know what this thing can do, right? No, I know you're right. It's like it's totally the same thing in a lot of ways. It's like it's the Wendigo in a way. It's the Skinwalker. It's the Druids of, you know, of Ireland and Scotland and stuff where, you know, they would wear animal pelts and become features of those animals, right? Like whether it was, and natives have this these stories too, and not just related to the Thunderbird, where if you wear certain feathers and stuff, you kind of take on attributes of the animals.
Who told them this? Like who told these different tribes that never communicated that you could wear animal pelts and become something and do these similar magic tricks? Not magic tricks, again, I don't mean it in a bad way, right? I'm just saying it in my own layman's terms, but using these powers, right, to change.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy.
It had to have been taught to him. You don't just discover that. You know, it's like
the pyramids in different parts of the world. It's another weird example right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just gonna add too. There was, you know, there's the whole demonic thing with, you know, projection imagery with, you know, people who are abducted or see aliens or whatever.
Well, I'm glad you're bringing this up.
You know, there's that owl imagery, and I can't help but just think, you know. As I was researching this, you know, creature that, whatever this, you know, cursed or supernatural being that can, you know, transform or whatever, the pre-Incan or Mayan civilization, this creature that they would, you know, supposedly folklore would feed on the blood of sacrificed babies. So you think like the Incan, right, the Mayan Peru area where they would actually do baby sacrifices for, you know, whatever god or I'm just going to go out on a limb and just say demonic, you know, being, that this would also be very similar in tale, that they would basically have to be sacrificing the blood of their babies to this creature that looks very similar to something like this. So again, that's the pre-Incan Mayan type civilization era.
You're right. Like, it's funny you bring that up because I also heard another podcast that was, I think it was Blurry Creatures, and they had this guy on that was talking. That's he's really well known on artifacts like old ancient megaliths and stuff, and he's really into the Incan.
Yeah.
He's really into Peru actually, like in Machu Picchu and those kind of places, you know, and just what it would take to create these crazy structures that are still around today that we can't even create today, right? It's amazing. But a lot of the artwork and stuff and a lot of like what is told in folklore is what you're kind of what you're saying. It's like these like I consider them demonic, that's just my thing, but they're like these serpent with feathers, these beings that came to them that were like their gods pretty much. They worshipped them, you know.
Yeah, and you'll see it similarly in Egypt too.
Yeah, they come from above. It's always they're coming from above.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And don't forget, in Egypt, if we're talking that route, the dog man, you guys know about the dog man cryptid? That's like Anubis. I swear that's like literally the same god creature, the same demonic creature, right? Is a dog man. I think dog man is an Anubis. That's my thought process. But yeah, it's fun to think about all this stuff. Like, how weird is it that there's so many connections across the globe and nobody's talking to each other? So it's strange.
Not just across the globe, guys. A little closer to home, if I don't recall, maybe 15 years ago. Wow, has it really been 15 years? I'd say probably 13 years.
Yeah, I mean, what I remember about this, and I saw it myself, you know, I saw it physically with my own two eyes. So it had, so this thing, so I saw it twice, actually, it's crazy. The one time I saw it was what we have on video. We were filming a fan film back in the day, oddly enough, a Batman fan film. And this thing, all of a sudden, and we always filmed so late at night, like we'd film till past midnight.
This was like 2 in the morning,
right?
Probably.
Yeah. 2 in the morning. This. So there's nobody on the streets, right? Yeah. Like it's super quiet on the streets.
And this, just to give you a quick glimpse of where we were at, we were in downtown Salt Lake City. We were in a place where, if you guys want to look up the bar called Twist now, but it used to be not a bar, and it's a really popular bar now here in Salt Lake, but it's like hiding behind this little alleyway. There's like a random building that we were filming a scene for, where Two-Face is walking in to meet his therapist, fun times, and we're filming in that area. And I just remember all of us look up, and it's like it's an alleyway, so there's 3 or 4 big buildings right there, so we're kind of like encompassed by, you know, 50-foot buildings. Yeah. All around us.
Yeah,
or more, maybe more, right? 80-foot buildings or something, right. Definitely pitch black outside, but you can see street lights and stuff. And do you guys remember it just whooshed right onto this building as we're filming?
So that's what I remember, is I heard a whoosh. We all heard a whoosh, right? Like, yep. The whoosh was like very apparent. We're like, oh, what's that sound? So we all looked up, because we all heard where that whoosh came from. And we all look up and we see this thing, this giant, if I was to describe it, I thought it was a bat. I thought it was a giant bat, like a huge black. It had like a wingspan of maybe 5-6 feet. This thing was huge.
It whooshed and landed on this old building on the ledge, and you could just see a shadow of it. And I literally feel like it was like my nephew's size right now, like mm-hmm. seven-year-old nephew, you know? Like, imagine somebody that height. What, 4.5 feet tall? 5 feet?
Yeah, but think in the relationship to where it was, because we had to zoom in with the camera, okay? So
yeah.
You gotta, I think, my personal opinion after watching the video is, I would say probably close to a man's height.
Oh my gosh.
The reason why is because if you look at how far we had to zoom in relation to the building, mm-hmm. I think it was a little bit taller or bigger than 4.
Everybody watch out. We got Spring Hill Jack in Salt Lake City, guys. He's jumping from building to building. He's got the wings.
I love it. You love Spring Hill Jack, too. That's
yeah,
a good
one. Go ahead,
favorite.
Jerfy.
But I was just going to say, like, so it's just definitely a funny thing that we're not losing our minds, because all of us saw it. None of us took peyote that night. We were working hard on a film, and we weren't delirious either. We were having a good time. We were high energy. All of a sudden, we look up. Dude's dressed like Two-Face. Dude's dressed like Alfred. Who knows? And we're looking up at the sky. I just remember seeing a figure, and I remember seeing eyes a little bit, because I swear it was looking directly at us.
It was trying to. It was almost like it was trying to hide, because yeah. our friend, he was whistling in the video, trying to get it to move.
To notice.
It was almost like it flew on this building, and then it was like almost trying to hold as still as possible so as not to be seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we were zoomed all the way in on it. It's, of course, at night, so you won't be able to see much, but...
Well, and when I think about these things, I think of, like, if this thing was smart enough as a human, right, it would be like, oh, I better just sit still, because they've got these gargoyles on some of these buildings that look like birds, right, and stuff like
that,
right?
That's what it did.
But it just hung on the side. What I remember is it hung on the side with, like, these hook-like hands and had these skin-like wings, you know, just like a bat. Well, fast forward a couple weeks later, maybe. I used to work downtown at the building called the Walker Center. If you guys want to look it up, it's my favorite building in downtown Salt Lake. It's amazing.
Isn't it the oldest in the Midwest at the time?
It's the oldest,
in the early 1900s.
Oldest skyscraper of its size at the time,
yeah.
Even before LA. It was bigger than stuff
cool
in LA.
And it's cool because it flashes different colors for different weather. So anytime it's snowing.
It has like really old ancient bank vault stuff, so that's got a lot of history with it too. It's really cool. Look it up.
Definitely yeah. Really cool.
And we'll maybe post a photo or something too on Instagram, but I loved working there. I didn't, like, my job was definitely stressful at the time. I worked in like a property management job, but definitely the working in the building to me was all worth it, right? And I would have just sustained that if I could have, but things happened. But anyway, I remember I was driving. I don't remember if I was leaving or going home. I don't know if I was going home or coming into work, I should say. But I was on the freeway, and this is I-15, and I'm driving on the freeway, and all of a sudden in that similar area, right as you're about to leave Salt Lake, right, or come into Salt Lake, I see something fly over my car, like whoosh over it, like maybe 15 feet above my car, and it flies over the freeway. And I'm sitting there looking around like, did anybody else see that? I'm trying to see other drivers in the cars, like try to see if they noticed it, because this thing was huge. It was bat-like. Again, I think it was the same exact creature or creatures that we saw that night, because it was literally a couple weeks later. It just flew over, just glided across. Like, it didn't even flap. It just glided across, right? And had these skin-like wings. It was all black.
Definitely a bat-like creature. And then there's, you know, there's stories of these things in parts of Asia where they still see these giant bats that are bigger than all the ones we know of, you know? Yeah. And I forget the names of them that
they call
them.
Didn't you say, like, I swear it was when you were leaving downtown, if I remember right. You were telling me the story. And there's, like, parts of the freeway that overlap other freeway. So you're driving under the freeway and there's a bridge of another freeway entrance, like, up above. Kind of like LA's type freeways where it's, like, there's all these crisscrossing freeways, right? And this is how it was, just Salt Lake, we're building that stuff like crazy. So there's like that west side coming into the east side, and then the south side where Roman's heading towards home, that's where he saw it like kind of fly and then sort of perch up somewhere. If I remember right, you said it landed and you couldn't see it anymore.
Yeah, I think it went, so like the freeway I was on was higher than the other ones, than the other connecting ones, right? And it flew over me and then down below, like into a place where it could hide, like, you know, like in this little kind of nook area that would, and like, so I'm like, this thing must be pretty smart because it's like, you know, doesn't want to be seen necessarily, but it did fly right in front of the car, I guess. But it was getting late. I remember it was like probably almost winter time. So like when I would leave work, sun's already going down, you know? So this is like when it's starting to get active, if it's a living creature. But again, I don't know if it is. Like it sort of seemed paranormal.
I remember when you mentioned that actually years ago, you mentioned, because you started looking this stuff up and there was a lot of controversy around like this being some type of an omen, right? And you'll have to correct me, but I swear that there was a chain of events or something that took place in around your life after you saw that, which made you lead to believe that this is like some kind of a sign or visual of some sort. But I can't remember the details, but I do know, like, there was a chain of events that took place either around or after this point.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I don't remember the details, but I know you're right about that, because I remember saying that, and I remember whatever was happening in my life at the time, there was either like work troubles or
stress, right? Yeah. Like,
we were
like
filming car accidents. Right? We were definitely filming Eidolon during that time. So that was like 2011. But again, that also ties into something like, you know, Mothman, like how they always say that, you know, the bridge falls after they see Mothman, or like these like terrible things happen, right? But it's funny because when I'm reading the Native American folklore, they don't really say that necessarily. It's more like just watch out because this thing will get you. I guess my thought on all this stuff is look in the sky.
Yeah, I don't know if you can get in trouble for this comment, but I was, you know, pretty much every day I'll go outside on my balcony or I'll hear a noise or something like that. I'm on the third floor and I'm very perceptive. I try to be. So I'm opening my front door, you know, and I'm looking out in the balcony. I'm just kind of relaxing. All of a sudden I hear like a power heavy, you know, helicopter flying by or a power heavy jet. And every time I look outside, it's like super, super cloudy. Like you can't see anything. It's like almost like artificial weather in a way. And the only reason I'm bringing this stuff up is because nobody's looking up in the sky at 10:30 at night, 11 at night. This is the perfect time to play games with the world, right? If you're going to be doing some military cover-ups or whatever you're going to be doing. And again, that's why I'm saying getting in trouble with this, because I don't know what it is. But I will say that almost every night there's loud jets when it's really cloudy weather and it's like 11 at night or something.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because we talked off air a little bit about a few things we were going to say. And I'm like, oh, I always forget stuff. We're not the best organizers, right? As far as what we write down and all that. But I really, really wanted to talk about what I thought as just kind of a theory of mine that started coming into play as we were doing the research on the Thunderbird. And, you know, when you think of like ancient cultures, Native American cultures, right? And even just ancient cultures in general, like things flying in the air, like, what's the thing you're going to mimic? You're going to mimic like a bird shape at first if you're going to try to fly. And that's what, you know, the Wright brothers did. That's like how we're flying today, is we pretty much mimic birds. Well, I was thinking, like, what if the Thunderbird people were, you know, these ancient natives were seeing was some kind of ancient UFO flying around?
Ancient airplane.
Potentially an ancient airplane that also had the ability to create weather, right? And manipulate weather. And again, the reason why is for concealment, right? Maybe if they don't have the same gravity field like UFOs today, maybe they have the ability to travel in the dark clouds so that nobody sees them.
Yeah. Or if you're looking at like a plane and you weren't like familiar with society, like civilization, and there's a plane flying over you, like I was saying, the reason I walked outside is because I hear a jet and it sounds like thunder. So if you're not familiar with that sound,
you're gonna say thunder.
You're gonna think thunder if you're an old Native American tribe. So maybe there's like some weird connection where, like Solomon says in the Bible, like nothing new is under the sun, right? Everything's happened before. There's a chance that like we've already had all this technology, you know, way back, like thousands of years ago. They always talk about how Atlanteans had way more technology than we have now.
Or Lemuria. And, that was the other nation like that.
Like they had teleportation devices or something. So like, yeah, maybe we just went way far back and now we're kind of coming back into the futuristic stuff we used to have. And it's scaring like whatever UFOs are, right? Demonic creatures, aliens, whatever. They're watching us now because we're getting too close to the old civilization's tech again, you know?
Right.
And maybe that's what it was. Maybe there's airplanes that they thought were big Thunderbirds. Who knows?
Yeah. And while I was reading, you know, some of the stories, it was talking about how the Thunderbird has an arch nemesis, right? And it was talking about what they kept calling the underwater panther. Basically, it was like a sea creature, like an underwater creature that was like a panther in a way, but also had scales and had the fins and stuff. And that was like its arch nemesis. Like if they ever came to each other, they'd have these massive battles and it was, you know, a big thing. Well, I was thinking about like how today's age with like the UFOs, UAPs, they keep saying like they're coming out of the water. A lot of them keep saying that I saw it come out of the ocean. I saw it come out of the water, right? And then fly up in the sky. I'm like, I wonder if there's like worlds in the water and that's still some kind of nemesis that the Thunderbird and it came from the water and it's some kind of high-tech UFO stuff. I don't know. That's the thing with this show is we just go off all over the place because we don't know and we just like to bring up the topics.
You know? But it's so easy to connect those dots, you know, when you start really thinking about it. That makes so much sense, you know, if we're thinking logically, that could be old tech. It could be something like that, you know?
Yeah, and we're trying to, you know, human brain wants to naturally connect the dots, right? So we want to look for what's going on around these sightings. When we were off air trying to, you know, do a little research for the show earlier today, a lot of sightings for like things like Thunderbird, particularly around like the, you know, the Central America kind of area, even some of the eastern side, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, those kinds of things, particularly around the, you know, the Bridgewater Triangle supernatural area of the United States. But you're trying to connect the dots, and you're trying to assimilate. Okay, what else is going on, right? It's almost like you don't want to keep your focus on the main thing all the time. You also want to like have enough brain power to like factor in. Can you factor this in?
Inside joke.
Can you factor this in? Other things that are, you know, going on around it when that happens, you know. And so you're trying to figure out, you know, what are the connections, what are the commonalities.
Yeah, I mean, like, so it's a progression. It's the Sherlock Holmes in us. It's the, how do we make the world easier for us? It's always that stuff. That's like how humans behave. It's like we can't, I mean, if you do the same thing over and over again and expect something different, that's insanity, right? That's what the definition is. So we as smart brained individuals, I mean, most of us, well, some of us, we'll say some of us are smart brained individuals.
I see you calling me out, hashtag.
And that's how we do things and how we figure out how we're flying now, how we have planes and things like, you know.
I'm blown away by our tech, like over the last like 20 years, and it is scary. Like the AI stuff, don't get me started on that. We've talked about this, and it's probably my scariest.
Let's end it now.
Yeah, end it now.
It's so scary.
I'm being honest, guys. We should cut off AI for real. Like it's getting scary, but
it's too late. It's already out.
Yeah, for real. But I will say, like our brains, guys, are like, you know, we watch Clue, right? We watch murder mysteries. We watch all these shows where you're trying to solve a situation, like Sherlock Holmes. You know, we're trying to be detective work sounds so fun, you guys. A lot of people feel this way. Being a private detective, I think the reason we feel that way is because we do want to connect. We want to get the dots. Like my favorite thing in school is like word searches and stuff because you're trying to just connect everything. You know, we're going to get there. And this is why I love our podcast, because we're just trying to connect a million dots. But
well, yeah. And the more we do the show, the more I start connecting dots. And I think the more you as listeners that listen to us and listen to all these other like-minded type podcasts, we'll start to come up with all these different connections.
I will say that in my mind, this whole end conversation for myself, for Jaren, the co-host, is I'm not sure how I feel about Thunderbird. Like when I came into it, even being like of native background a little bit, I still have a little reservation. But I will say we saw something we can't describe when we were in Salt Lake in 2011, 2010. And I will say that there's a lot of people that I trust and believe would say what they see is true, right? So I don't know what this is, but I'm wondering if it's like certain things, chupacabra, thunderbird, but there's certain things out there that aren't as common as like a Bigfoot, right? And it makes me wonder if they're just like what Sean says. I'm kind of with you on Sean on this, is that these are like bruja. They're like skinwalkers. They're like sort of here and there type things. It's not so much like a culture of creatures. Like I think Bigfoot is a culture of creatures, like an actual thing that's around that, I don't know, maybe isn't fully physical, because I do believe there's some weird things going on with Bigfoot, but I definitely think it gets seen a lot more. And so my end thing is that there's things out there that show up and disappear, and then there's things out here that we'll see a lot more often. But we're gonna figure it out, you guys. I don't know if it's gonna be now or 60 years from now, but I appreciate you guys just like hearing it out, because it's insane to think about.
Yeah, and I agree. I wanted to cover what my thoughts were on it, and literally my thoughts are similar to yours, where I think there's weird stuff flying around, stuff that we don't really understand. Like I believe Mothman's a legit thing, but what is it? And maybe they're all the same. Like maybe they're these interchangeable shape-shifting entities that can fly. Like maybe there's flying versions and like land versions and stuff, right, that just change for their environment or whatever, who knows.
I also think
that there is something. There could be some physical big birds that still exist, like some physical pterosaurs that still exist that are not supernatural in any way, shape, or form, that are just out there living in these peaks that we never explore because they're too tall. And they're living in these crazy areas, you know, where nothing has the ability to harm them, you know, like they could have survived some of these, like the Ice Age and whatever else, right? You know, so I believe that that's a possibility as well. All I'll say is I believe people's stories, and you guys know that from our show, that we're pretty open to everything. And as time goes on, I'm sure we're going to start forming more ideas on these things. But for now, I'm just going to say it might be physical, it might be spiritual, it might be a bit of both, it might be everything. And I'm not going to say they're all connected, but there's definitely things flying out there you should keep your eyes out for.
Life is a bag of tricks, y'all. It's a bag of tricks. So,
yeah, I would agree. My honest thoughts are, there is a skeptic in me, to be honest, a healthy skepticism, I would say. But, you know, because I do realize that there, you know, people do hear something and then they want to kind of, you know, people are storytellers, right? I mean, if history's shown us anything, people are storytellers. So with that in mind, do I want to believe everybody? No, I don't. Do I believe people do see things that they don't really know how to explain? Sure, absolutely. I would 100% agree that people do see things that they either, you know, have a hard time explaining, they have no idea what it is. Yeah, I'll give them that credit, sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look at that one game, I'll just finish it with this, but you look at that one game, which I forget the name right now, but you get like, you know, 20 people in a circle, right? And somebody whispers something in somebody's ear, right? And then it goes all around the circle, and eventually it'll change at the end, and it'll be completely different than what was, you know, told in the beginning. So what you're saying about us being storytellers, embellishing things, you know, coming up with new little ideas that we throw in there, little characteristics that were never told, and that's part of it now in our minds. I mean, that's why people read books in a way, is like books are not visual. And so like you can fill in the blanks, you know, and you put your own ideas in there. And so like my wife, she's always like, oh, it's never as good as the book. And I'm like, well, that's why, because you're seeing someone's interpretation visually in the movie version, right? But the book version, you can put your own ideas in there. And so, but I think that's what we do as people, like you said.
Yep. And like I said, I want to give people the benefit of the doubt, just as you all, the audience, give us the benefit of the doubt for the things that we share on the show of our experiences. You know, there's just flat out are things that we have a hard time interpreting when we see images, when we see things, you know, light coming into our brains, trying to process what that is in a natural world. And then when you basically end up getting to a point where you can't, and you can't fathom a natural source, it really leaves you to start wondering, is there more going on that I can't see, that's taking place all around me that I just cannot, I'm ignorant to almost, you know?
Exactly. Well, we really appreciate everybody for joining this podcast, for listening to us. We definitely thought it was a fun one. There was definitely, this might have been the hardest topic to research. There wasn't a lot of information out there. I do blame it on the tight-lipped nature, a little bit of Native American culture. Like there's a lot of reasons why everything that's passed down is orally and it's not given to outsiders and stuff. So I think part of that is a huge part. Now, I don't think that the Thunderbird is just a Native American thing. I think other people see it too that are not related to Native American culture. But but we really appreciate everybody joining and just getting something out of it. That's what we hope.
They said the Thunderbird technology or mythology is knowledge is secretive because it's dangerous. That's what they say. So it makes sense that you say that, like the Choctaw tribes and stuff say these things. So we're going to keep coming out with awesome stories, hopefully that you guys enjoy. I definitely enjoy researching things like this because we don't get a chance every day to just sit there and be like, what's a Thunderbird all the way? You know, I've grown up hearing about it. You know, Southern Utah University's the Thunderbirds. There's all kinds of Thunderbirds, right? Mascots and stuff. So I believe there's like a little truth to it no matter what.
Yep.
So why, right? And that's the good question. So thank you guys. We're going to stay super overnatural and I hope you guys will as well.
Yeah, and keep chiming in with us. I mean, like our listeners that we kind of shouted out to, like Madeline and some of the others and stuff that have said some comments to us. Like that really, I can't tell you guys how much it actually makes me feel a certain way. It makes me feel very good to like see the interactions that we get with people, right? And
it lifts our spirits.
We had another Australian friend that was talking about the Yowie, and I forget his name right now, but he was chatting with us a little bit through Messenger. And
oh, that's a guy that does his own podcast. I don't remember the name of it.
Yeah, but you know, when we figure it out, we'll post it on the show. But I just want to say we appreciate it, and thank you guys so much for listening, and tune in next time for sure.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.